Among the tabernacle's hand-painted walls and ceiling, sculptures and signs, owner Prish Moran reflects on the building's history.
It started out as a tabernacle. That name wasn't just pulled out of a hat. It was a Methodist tabernacle for only 2 years in 1920. And then it turned into a bank, a dance hall. And then it mostly was a bakery workroom for 40 plus years.
Moran purchased the building from Lafayette down to Mid-Grand Street in 2007. The tabernacle was a part of that purchase and was the last piece she got to developing. How it all happened was quite spontaneous.
I was going to Gershio's, and it was a beautiful spring day. I see this boarded up, beautiful Victorian building. I mean, I'm a decorative artist. I repair old buildings. I swear to God, I didn't even know. I bought it that day.
And a little after a decade of owning the property, that spontaneous nature led to the current form of the tabernacle. Most of the sculptures and painted walls you see inside came from a few people associated with Sweetness 7. Moran gave them almost complete creative control, which led to some unique accidental features.
Those lights were supposed to be over my stage, and I came in one day and they were hooked to the cabinets. I was like, oh, that's cute. And then I realized, I love that.
Even some of the current bartenders started as former cafe workers. It's this spontaneous nature that's created what exists today. However, Moran quickly found out booking music for this venue would need a more careful approach.
Because you need professionals when it comes to music. Because, man, did I make some mistakes. Whoo, Lord.
Enter music manager Ellen Peroni. She worked for Nietzsche's the past few years, and after starting at the Tabernacle in July, booked the entire fall season with performances featuring a jazz series.
People have been pretty enthusiastic about wanting to be a part of it. Already since I've announced the fall series, I've been getting blown up about people who want to play the winter series. So, I mean, that's cool. Like, people are starting to get excited about it.
Now there's a couple of reoccurring events, including a jam session every first Thursday of the month, led by the Donnie Fraunhofer Band.
There's not that many jams left in Buffalo. There's the last Wednesday jazz jam of the month at Gypsy Parlor, and then there's Sundays at the CMC, but that's it as far as jazz jams go, at least that I can think of. So I'm excited that there's going to be one here.
One thing Peroni wasn't ready for right away, Moran's idea to hold Friday night disco dance parties, which has become a thing.
I'll take over the booking here, and the first thing Prish wants is me to throw like a disco party every week, and I'm like, okay, here we go. No, like I was totally open to it, but it was like I had to call my cousin who is a DJ, because I don't know any. My sister's a DJ and my cousin's a DJ. I don't know any DJs other than those two people. So I had to call my cousin and say, oh my God, who spins disco and funk? So he sent me a couple of names, and then those people sent me more names. So now we have like a rotation going of like, you know, five people. But it was just so like bizarre for me that my first big project here was booking a disco DJ dance party night.
Filled with art, cocktails, and now sometimes disco, the Tabernacle is looking to become a fixture for local music on Buffalo's west side. Nick Lippa, WBFO News.